Now let's talk about taking over a property and minimizing the stress, doing it effectively, logically, efficiently, and systematically, okay? So there's a lot you're going to want to do to make sure things go smoothly after you close. You know, tenants could be worried. They could be, you know, everybody's fearful of rents getting jacked up because it's common when it happens. And, you know, so they're always scared of new ownership. So let's talk about what the steps you're going to take. So you're going to want to immediately notify the tenants that you're the new owner, or the management company will notify them. So you prepare a letter. If you're taking over the management, you will do this. If you've got a property manager, they'll, of course, do this. But the letter that you put on every door should include your name, address, and phone number as the owner. Now, I'm going to actually retract that. If you're using a management company, they don't need to know your ownership information. I would not put that in there unless you're going to manage the property. Do not put your ownership information. I should have taken that off the slide. You're just going to give them the name and address of the property management company. But if you are the one personally going to manage, then obviously you're going to put your information there. Now, again, I recommend, like I talked about in the entity structure section, that if you're going to self-manage, that you set up an LLC as a management company to manage your property, then you would give them that information, okay? There's no reason to put your personal information out there. So sorry about that. I should have made that more clear on that. So again, just to rehash that, if a property management company's handling the property, their information is going to go on the letter. If you're handling the property, hopefully you've set up a management company LLC, and you're going to give them that information, phone number, maybe an emergency number to utilize for their purposes. And then how and where they can pay the rent. Okay, very important. Where to mail it, or maybe where to bring it. And then how do they contact or make a request for maintenance or other problems that pop up? Very important. Letters got to have that. Who to contact in case of an emergency. And then you're going to include a tenant information form because you need to update their information. Their phone numbers may have changed. Their jobs may have changed. So very, very important that you update their information. And so you're going to ask them either on your website, maybe a link on a website, or on a paper form or an email to answer some questions. What's their name, age, and how many? Who's all living in the property, and what are their relationships to each other? Contact information, how do you contact them? And current employer information, including phone numbers, and a number in case of an emergency, okay? So that's the first thing, the first things that you do. And then you move right into, you've got to contact the utility companies. They're going to need the new ownership information or management company information, whoever's paying the bills. You're going to contact the fire and police department so they know how to contact you and your property manager in the case of an emergency. Very important, okay? You're going to want to know if something's going on with your property. And if they don't know who owns it, they're just going to deal with it, and you're never going to know you could have a problem. So very important, okay? Then you're going to, you've already reviewed, and you're going to update and possibly rewrite any contracts that you have with vendors. Again, pool, landscape maintenance, parking lot maintenance. Maybe you've got somebody, a snowblower, sweeper, your HVAC people, plumbers, electricians, pest control. Maybe you have vending machines, certainly laundry. Now, sometimes, by the way, these laundry contracts are long-term, multi-year, and sometimes they can't be modified, so just know that in advance. But most of the other ones can be. So, but you're going to want to update those contracts. Then I recommend, highly recommend, that you institute a PO system, a purchase order system. And what that means is nobody can do work on that property without your written approval via a PO, a purchase order. So, and you know, lots of softwares provide that. If you're doing the property management yourself, we're going to go into the different property management softwares you can get, and they'll have PO systems in there, and QuickBooks has a PO system. But I recommend you do that, and they don't get paid unless they have a PO, and then you give them 30-day terms. That's common. It's standard in the industry, and a lot of contractors want to get paid the minute it's done. But you tell them, you do business with me, you're on 30-day terms. That's a PO system. Okay, you want to make sure you set up a property-specific checking account, okay? So if you have a management company collecting the rents and paying the bills, or if your own management company is collecting the rents and paying the bills, they're going to pay the net proceeds to your property-specific checking account. And so you always set one up in the name of the entity that owns the property. And you keep your personal finances separate from the properties. Don't use this bank account as a piggy bank or for your personal expenses, especially if you have partners, because then it's illegal. But I wouldn't do it anyway. You know, you don't want to do that. Keep your finances separate, okay? All right, so you need to set up an accounting system with your accountant, your CPA. And a lot of the property management software gives you the option to do either cash or accrual accounting. You have to decide which you're going to use. I recommend accrual, but whatever you decide, I'm not going to try to explain to you the difference. I would make a mess of it if I tried, but I prefer accrual. And your accountant can explain the difference to you. Now, the other thing that's very important is you want to make sure your expenses don't get misclassified, especially if you're doing it yourself. And there's a big difference between an expense and a capital improvement. And if you don't know the difference, research it. But the bottom line is, for example, you put a roof on a property, that's not an expense. That's a capital improvement. An expense is something that doesn't have an economic life, okay, if you want to really dumb it down. And then you got to decide your depreciation schedule. Are you going to accelerate it and do cost segregation? And that's a question for your CPA. Okay, do you need a lot of depreciation your first couple of years? Then you may want to do a cost segregation. And I explained that to you previously, but it's basically where you figure out the economic life of every component in the property, from the plumbing to the electrical to the walls to the doors, the flooring, everything. Every individual component's economic life is determined, and then you can accelerate the depreciation massively with cost segregation. So you have to make that decision if it makes sense for you. Then you're going to create management systems, and you're going to make sure that you or your property manager have these systems in place. And we're going to dive much deeper into these in the next module, but let me tell you briefly what they are. You know, how are you collecting rents? What are your systems? How are you enforcing the rents with your late pay procedures? What are your maintenance systems and procedures? Are you using POs, for example? How's the property being upkept? You know, how are you going to keep track of that? Are you going to have scheduled maintenance? Are your maintenance men on a schedule to check air conditioning filters or other components in the property, inspect for leaks on a regular basis? All that needs to be systemized. What are your lease-up procedures, accounting procedures, marketing systems? How are you going to market the property? And do you institute a PO system? Now, guys, there's a big forms library in your materials that has most every form you'd ever need if you're going to self-manage. But we're going to dig into that quite a bit more in the next module. Okay, you did it. That was the end of that module, and we covered a lot again. We went over writing LOIs, letters of intent. Remember, we went over writing contracts on a property, making sure you use an attorney. We dove deep into the due diligence process. You know, I told you about third-party reports. I know it was a lot. And, you know, make sure you use our due diligence checklist so that you never miss anything. It's important to have systems in place when you have a business. And using checklists is just an example of a good system. So be proud of yourself for sticking with this. You know, I promise you it's worth it. So in the next module, we're going to cover property management. We're going to dig deep there, both with you self-managing or hiring a property manager, how to hire a property management company, what to ask them, you know, what to expect from them, what to insist on from them. We're going to discuss bookkeeping and accounting. We're going to dive deep on that, how to hire contractors and workers and keeping your occupancies high, filling your vacancies. And then we're going to go over some guerrilla marketing tips to do that.
Before I have you guys go to Module 10, I want to sneak something in here that I hope you find valuable. I think you will. As you move from maybe a regular job that you have or had into this real estate business, you're going to have to take off your employee hat and become a leader. And leadership skills are, frankly, important in all the aspects of your life. That's why I wanted to share this clip about the power of becoming an incredible leader. Then we'll see you in Module 10.
If you're listening to me right now and you want to expand your existing real estate business or build a new business of your own, then you're already a leader, or you're going to become a leader very quickly. So let's talk about what that means. Let's talk about the responsibilities and rewards that come from being an extraordinary leader. John Quincy Adams said, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you're a leader." Leaders think about, they look for, and they talk about solutions. Now, followers, on the other hand, focus on, think about, and love to talk about problems. Great leaders don't usually initially set out to be a leader. They focus on their goals, and they try to make a difference. Leaders do what's right, not what's easy. They have integrity. The greatest leaders in history are the ones that are able to translate a vision into reality. They're able to think big. President Donald Trump said, "You have to think anyway, so why not think big?" So if you're about to start a real estate business, then you need to realize you're literally taking off your employee hat and you're going to put on your entrepreneur hat, your leader hat. And that's a mindset shift. You're going to need to put together a team. And that team, it's going to require a leader, you. Now you need to decide to be that leader that you'd want to follow. For example, a great leader compliments people, shows them, and also magnifies their strengths for them, not their weaknesses. A leader loves what they do, so their passion radiates out and inspires other people. Leaders realize that God or the universe's delays are not denials. Leaders, they have patience and they stay focused on their ultimate vision or goal. They keep an open mind and they remain flexible. They empower others. You know, they're personable. People like to be around them. I thought Jim Rohn said it wonderfully when he said, "The challenge of leadership is to be strong but not rude, to be bold but not a bully, to be thoughtful but not lazy, to be humble but not timid, to be proud but not arrogant, to have humor and fun but without folly." Leaders care. They care about the people that they're empowering. They look for win-win in every situation. They're decisive. You know, they're not afraid to make decisions. When other people are standing around wondering what to do about a problem, a leader will step up and say, "Stand aside," and they'll handle it. Martin Luther King was quoted as saying, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands at moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Leaders can inspire other people to their vision. They're passionate and they're excited, so that makes them exciting to be around. Leaders are curious. They're always learning and growing. John F. Kennedy said, "Leadership and learning are literally indispensable to each other. Leaders are always asking the question, how can I make it better? How can we continually improve what we're doing?" Leaders practice their communication skills, so they become fantastic communicators. So when you're a leader, the first rule you need to realize is that everything's your fault. You are 100% responsible for what happens. And that's not a negative thing. It's actually a positive thing. Total responsibility. Leaders own it. The buck stops with them. Leaders tell the truth, no matter how painful. Great leaders actually love their followers. Leaders instill confidence and bring out the best in other people. To be successful with their team and their followers, leaders know to be authentic and transparent in their businesses. They realize there are going to be bumps in the road, and they embody persistence, and they stay focused on their mission and their goal. They hold people accountable, pleasantly, but firmly. Leaders are the creators of their lives, and followers let life happen to them. Leadership is fantastic, but there is a price. It requires focus, hard work, dedication, and, you know, regularly brings disappointment. To be a leader requires sacrifices, but they're worth it. Leaders have an incredible opportunity to lift others up, help them grow, help build their self-confidence, and have the joy and satisfaction of seeing them succeed. Leaders also have the privilege of creating magical experiences and magic moments for their team. Leadership is always about we, not me. You know, leaders get to bring people together and enroll them in a vision and a mission. Leaders are able to create and leave a legacy for their families and for the good of others. The real estate business, as is the case with almost every business, is a team sport. And to be a success, you need to become a leader. Our world, our country, desperately needs new leaders. Leaders that aren't afraid to rock the status quo and even break a few rules if necessary for the greater good. Also, the best leaders know life is about giving back. They care about their team, they care about their country, and they care about the world. I'm Rod Kleef, wishing you incredible passion and massive success as the leader that I know you are in your business and in your life.